Welcome along to the Good Glow podcast today. I've put together a very special episode for you on Mother's Day, but I wanted to say that this is not an episode for mothers. This is an episode to celebrate all women today. I wanted you to feel so energized after listening to this podcast, so pumped, so ready for the week ahead, with a belief in yourself, with a reminder of your greatness. And I want you to take these five stories that I have put together for you for today's podcast and take them forward with you as your strength, as your courage, and as your motivation to believe in yourself like never before. I always said that you don't have to be a mum to have motherly energy. So I hope wherever you are on your journey, you can have compassion and love for yourself today. Today, we're going to hear from Mel Robbins, the greatest personal development coach in the world. We've got Martha Beck, who's Oprah's life coach, Gabby Bernstein, who completely changed my life, Dr. Mindy, who's reminding women to take better care of themselves, and Dr. Shefali. Dr. Shefali is going to talk about something today that I, all these years later, still get stopped in the street about. And she tells a story today that I send to every woman I know who's going through a tough time. So I hope that you can take a minute today to celebrate yourself, to have compassion for yourself. And I hope that if you do feel like today is a tough day, that you have someone to lean on. And if you don't, my DMs are always open. If you do enjoy this podcast, I will ask you one favor. Please send it to the women in your life who you greatly admire and love. And if you are one of those women who've been sent this podcast today and you're listening to this podcast today, I hope you know that someone was thinking of you and somebody loves you enough to send you this podcast. So I hope you enjoy it. And before we get into it, I did want to thank Electrosol for supporting the Good Glow this season. Electrosol is a simple way to keep on top of your hydration. It's not just for athletes. Electrosol is for anyone who wants an easy way to stay hydrated. Whether you're at work, out for a walk, or just getting on with your day, it can also be used to stay hydrated in hot weather. It's available in three flavors. There's always one that's perfect for you, with a mix of key electrolytes like sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Find Electrosol at your local pharmacy or visit Electrosol.ie for more. Electrosol is a food supplement and should not replace a balanced diet. Always read the label before use. Okay, so I'm going to start the podcast today with Dr. Mindy, who's on a mission to give women the power back when it comes to their health. She's a hormone expert, but most importantly, she wants women to put themselves higher on their own to-do list. So I told her the chicken story. Oh my God, this chicken story is so ridiculous, but I hope that you can resonate with it in some way. And I couldn't think of a better way to kick off this episode of the podcast.
It's so funny. I'll give you such like a silly example, but it came up for me before this podcast. So when I first moved in with my now husband, he loves chicken. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with chicken, but I don't like chicken. Yeah. But in order to just make life easier, to just bob down the river, I used to eat chicken all the time. So when I got sick and in my recovery and I was choosing, you know, what fills me up and what keeps me well, I remember saying to Jamie, like, I ate chicken for 5 years because of you. And he was like, Jesus, like, why? You didn't like it. Like, I didn't make you eat it. You just didn't have to. And I was like, I know, Jamie, but it was just an easy life. And I think, especially as women, we're just going to choose sometimes what's easier, or eat the kids' leftovers, and we're really depriving ourselves of the nutrients we need.
Oh my gosh, there's so much depth in that statement. And this is what I want to say to every woman out there, is we are professional people pleasers. We are adapters and often do what's right for everybody around us. And we do it at the expense of ourselves. And I call it betraying ourselves. Like, we are willing to do everything for everybody else and betray our own desires. And you're using food as a beautiful example, but we do it with everything. We do it with our opinions. We do it with what we feel is right. We will often adapt to the other person. There's an interesting feminist philosopher here in America that I've been studying and is going to be part of my next book. And she has a idea called In a Different Voice. And sit with this for a moment. What she has done is she's looked at 11-year-old girls and boys and 13-year-old girls and boys. And if you ask an 11-year-old girl what she wants to eat, she will tell you exactly what she wants to eat. She will say, oh, I want mac and cheese, or I want this. But when you ask her at 13 what she wants to eat, what she will say is something like, I don't know, what are you eating? Because what happened in those 2 years was hormones. And once those hormones come in, we now have a whole new behavior system. And that behavior system is actually like gearing us towards connection, and connection becomes incredibly important. So we don't want to choose, like your point with the chicken. We don't want to tell you we don't want chicken because it would disrupt the relationship. And our hormones demand that we stay in relationship with you.
Isn't it so interesting to think about the areas in our life where we may be becoming a people pleaser? I think for me, it was in every area of my life before I became aware of it. But just by simply becoming aware of something, you have the power to change it. So we are on to Martha Beck now, who told a story that completely changed how I make decisions in my life. Imagine, just a 3-minute story has had such an impact. I think everyone's worst, and it's not a worse fear because there are so much more serious things in life, but you say it in the book that, you know, looking up into the sky and saying, it wasn't supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think with stillness may bring those thoughts for people. And where on earth do you go from that point of admitting that to yourself?
Well, it's really fascinating. I mean, I was brought to this point many times during my life, almost as if this was my life mission to figure out what to do. When you get still and you think, this is not working, this isn't the way it was supposed to be, there's a voice inside that tells you that. I call it the ring of truth, or your inner teacher, whatever you want. But it's an aspect of yourself, and it knows things aren't right. And that leads one to conclude it probably knows what is right. So if you sit quietly with it and it says this is wrong, and you keep sitting and you keep paying attention, and you can do formal meditation, or you can just pay attention, or you can go to a coach or a therapist or whatever. But the stillness and the asking, what is it meant to be like, will get you an answer. And very often that answer comes in the form of a surge of fascination or enjoyment toward a certain activity, person, or place. You know, it may not come in words. It won't be. Have you played the game, it's you're getting warmer, you're getting colder?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how your true self communicates with you. It never says, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to divorce your husband, marry this guy named Phil. You'll meet him in a couple of weeks. and then you're going to set up a taxidermy stand in the middle of Dublin for the rest of your lives. That is not how you get the instructions. The instructions are, okay, this isn't right. Okay, what feels a little better? Well, I could lie down. Yes, that would be good. Now, if you don't go lie down, then you don't get the next instruction, because it's you're getting warmer, you're getting colder. I used to play this game with clients, and they would come in, they would get stumped, and they would stop and say, where is it? And I would just say, that's not warm. I'm not allowed to tell you that. You just have to start moving, trying things, and seeing what feels warmer. And the reduction of suffering goes down and down and down with every little move you make. And then it gradually transitions, and suddenly you're seeking more and more joy. And it keeps getting warmer, 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 till your whole life is very, very warm.
Oh my God, that has just blown my mind. Because
when you were saying that. So I think, first of all, when you're still and you're afraid of the things coming up, you're saying that not only will the things come up, but you will find the answers, which is very reassuring for people to know that there is a way, there is a path. And then what you're saying about getting warmer. So my whole life, well, I would say in my 20s and my early 30s, all I ever wanted to do was get into the sea. I went on my honeymoon to, but I don't like cold water, right? So I went on my honeymoon to Barbados when I was 30 into like crystal clear waters, still didn't get into the sea. Came home, got sick. You know, I'd go to the beach, I'd see people getting into the water and my whole like body, just every part of me wanted to get into the sea. So in my recovery from cancer, I finally took the plunge and got into the sea. And with that brought confidence. It brought this inner strength, this warrior. I was so proud of myself, you know. I was no longer the weak person in my marriage. Like my Jamie would get into the sea. Jamie would do hard things. Now I was doing it and he was afraid to get into the sea some days because it was too cold. So isn't that really interesting that, you know, stepping towards the things that are warmer, that that unlocks the joy.
Yeah. And that is the opposite of what we're told. We're told do the difficult, hard things first. Eat your vegetables, then you might get a treat. But the way nature works is that the moment you turn towards something that's right for you, all your senses say, that's right. And I still can't believe that people pay me money to tell them, okay, bottom line is this. If something makes you feel really horrible, and over time it's destroying you, maybe back off it a little. If something makes you super happy and your health and your mood and everything elevate every time you do it, maybe do that instead. We're done. And the fact is we all know it in our physiology. We all know it in our hearts.
I think it's really interesting that, you know, I worked in this job for 10 years and didn't feel like I was ever getting this promotion that I always wanted, which was into the radio station next door to read the news. And I was the entertainment reporter. And I was like eating my breakfast at my desk, my lunch at my desk, working overtime, wondering, like, can anyone see me here? Like, I am giving this my all. So I went then off to get my cancer treatment and started to invest in myself for the first time in my life. And then they called me up and said, hey, when you come back to work, do you want this job at 98 FM? And I said, are you serious? I have wanted this job for 10 years. Why am I getting it now?
It's different for different people. It's different for every situation. What I noticed from having worked with thousands of people is that what happened is you sat there filling the female role, not speaking up, just showing them how hard you could work and how much of your life you could spend on the job, hoping that you would be noticed and rewarded. And you were invisible to yourself. It's very, was talking to Brooke Baldwin, who used to have her own show on CNN. And one thing that's surprised me about her is she would just go in and say, give me the job. And she realized women don't do that. So she started doing it because men were doing it and it worked. But the culture says we don't do that. Then cancer came along and you gave yourself permission to say, no, I'm very important. Like my preferences, my health, my joy, it all matters. And almost supernaturally, when we shift ourselves into valuing and getting into alignment, getting into integrity, other people sort of feel the message. Oh, look at Georgie. She's important. And so it ends up connecting.
So I suppose there's two lessons from Martha there. What makes you feel warm and lean towards that? And also when you become important to yourself, that is when other people can see that you are important. Such an aha moment. So over to the great Mel Robbins now, who told a story of
her rock bottom place. Imagine that. The greatest personal development coach in the world came from a really dark place. And that dark place sparked the 5-second rule and a TED talk that has been viewed by millions of people.
I lost my job and I, you know, found myself at the age of 41 in a place that I never imagined. I had 3 kids under the age of 10 and we were about to lose everything. We were nearly $1 million in debt. We had no money. I mean, not only no money, we had negative $800,000. My husband hadn't been paid in 6 months. I couldn't buy groceries. My dad was paying our bills while we were waiting to go to bankruptcy court. I was addressing my problems in a really self-destructive way, screaming at Chris, who was trying his best to save the restaurant business. I was drinking myself into the ground because it was easier than facing reality. And I became a person I didn't recognize. And one evening, I was really drunk on bourbon. And I was giving myself kind of one of those pathetic pep talks where I'm like, that's it, Mel. You got to pull your shit together. Woman, you got to get a job. You got to stop screaming at your husband. You have got to get those kids on the bus. You got to do something. And when that alarm rings, Mel, you got to get out of bed. And now here's the thing about that pep talk. Even when you say, I can't cope, you still know what you should be doing. Knowing what you need to do. You know, you already said this. You knew that you were giving everything to everybody else and you had nothing left for yourself. You knew you had to stop doing it. You knew you had to start focusing on taking care of yourself. We know what to do. We don't know how to do it. And so I knew what to do too, but I didn't know how to stop drinking. I didn't know how to exercise when I was so depressed. I didn't know how to reach out to people when I was so scared and embarrassed and ashamed at where we are. I didn't know how to be nice to Chris when I wanted to kill him. I didn't know. I was consumed with anxiety and fear and depression and overwhelm, and life felt big. It felt so big. And all the solutions felt so scary and so overwhelming. So I did nothing. I was paralyzed. And it was in that moment, as I said, and tomorrow morning when that alarm rings, Mel, you have got to get out of bed. And at that moment, a rocket ship launched across the television screen at the end of a commercial. And I think it was divine intervention or the bourbon. I mean, because I literally was like, that's it. Tomorrow morning, you're going to move like that rocket. You're not going to lay in bed, Mel. You are going to launch yourself out of bed like a rocket ship. And the very next morning, I think a lot about this moment. It was a February morning outside of Boston, Massachusetts in 2008. The alarm went off and there's this 5-second moment of hesitation that defines your whole life. It's the moment between thinking about what you need to do or doing what you need to do. And on that morning, when the alarm went off, as I felt myself thinking about getting out of bed, I just did what I saw that rocket do. And I counted backwards like the space engineers do, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I launched myself out of that bed. And that one action demonstrating, yes, even though you're $1 million in debt, even though you have anxiety, even though you don't know how to fix this, you can cope, Mel Robbins. You can get out of bed. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can get your kids out of bed. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can get breakfast on the table. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can get their lunches packed. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can take a deep breath and not snap with sarcasm at Chris. You can talk to him from a place of support. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can pick up the phone and start searching for a job. And so one decision at a time, I would count backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, to launch myself forward. And so you asked me this question, and that is what is called the 5-second rule. And then I kind of said it one day on stage by literally mistake. I kind of forgot what I was supposed to say. So I was like, oh, by the way, there's this thing I do. And that's a TEDx talk that now has 28 million views. And that moment right there, saying it on stage, that talk spread around the world. It ignited a movement of people around the world who realized, yes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I can cope. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I can do this thing. And so the action proves to your brain that, yes, you can cope because you're taking the action that proves that you can.
Such wise words from Mel Robbins and such reassurance that you can go from a really dark time to a really great time. When we go off on our half marathon trips, and actually our next half marathon trip is to Rome in October. We have all the details on our website, or just DM me on Instagram if you want the details. But when we're going off and we're doing our half marathon trips, people are always really caught up in the idea of the sweeper bus. So the sweeper bus is this bus that goes along the course right at the end and picks up anybody who hasn't completed the race in a certain amount of time. It could be 5.5 hours. And when we're going off, people will always say, Georgie, I'm so afraid of the sweeper bus. What if I end up on the sweeper bus? And I always say the same thing. The sweeper bus could be the greatest thing that ever happens to you in your life. The sweeper bus could be your TED talk. You know, don't be afraid of trying because you're so afraid of failing. Because in that failure, it could be the greatest thing that ever happens to you. It could bring you on to just amazing things in your life. So I always say to people, don't fear the sweeper bus, and don't not try because you're afraid of failing. Thank you, Mel Robbins, for such an amazing lesson. On to Gabby Bernstein now. I read her book, The Universe Has Your Back, and 2 days later, I quit my job. This is what we're talking about today. Can I tell you how you changed my life?
Yes, please. That would be beautiful to hear.
And I'm going to start by saying that I did not change your life. You changed your life.
I knew you were going to say that.
I may have just inspired you to do some work on your life.
I knew you were going to say that. So my friend, who I hadn't seen in years, when I was in the middle of chemotherapy, arrived on my doorstep with your book, The Universe Has Your Back, and Oprah's book, What I Know For Sure. And I read Oprah's book, and I felt like your book was going to have, I felt like your book was going to change my life. So I felt like I needed to be ready to read it. So I went back to work after treatment, and everything was going back to normal. I worked in a busy newsroom, and I just had started my podcast on the side and really had this vision for a wellness brand. And I knew that I couldn't do both, but I was living in fear and continued with my day job. I went to Spain and I had your book, and I finally felt ready to read it and let it in. So I read the book, and in it you said, ask for a sign. So I asked for a sign one day to quit my job. And 4 hours later, I got my sign. And I went home from Spain and I quit my job, and I have never looked back. And it's now 3.5 years later, and I have this podcast, and, you know, it's brought me on an incredible journey. And I don't think I would have done that without your book.
Well, you were guided to the book, and you knew when to read it. You always see people read it when they need it. And so it's no accident that the book came to you, and it's no accident that you read it when you were ready to make that change. So you changed your life. The book was just there to tell you a story to inspire.
And
you always
speak about asking for a sign. If there's anybody listening today who may feel like they need a bit of guidance, you know, where do you start to ask for a sign?
Well, if you have something that you are trying to make a decision about, or you want to just connect to the universe and say, you know, guidance, universe, spirit, whatever you believe in, show me that I am being guided, whatever it may be that you want to ask for guidance with, decide right now, what is your sign? Don't even think, just say it. So it could be a butterfly, it could be a rainbow, it could be a elephant, it could be a Buddha. I'm looking at all the things behind you. It could be, you know, an orange handbag, you know, just something that's not so common, but, you know, that just comes to mind. And that first thing that comes to your mind is your sign. And then you would say a prayer. Thank you, universe, for revealing to me that I am on the right track. Show me my sign. And that sign will be revealed. And if it's not revealed, that's a sign too.
Yeah. So what happens if it's not revealed? You've said before
too.
That it can come in time.
It can come in time, and also cannot come, because, you know, a lot of people are trying to like play tricks with the universe. And so when we ask the universe for a sign and we don't get the sign, then that means that there's a different direction, that there's something else we should open our consciousness up to. It's not black or white. Your signs will be very blatant. It's not, they're going to be in your face like a billboard. And if you don't get that sign, then that's a billboard too.
Yeah, because I asked for a sign in your manifesting challenge in January, and it was a stag, because there's often deer running around where we live. So I said, okay, a stag will appear, and it never showed up, and it still hasn't to this day. And I think about that, and I'm like, that is because I have more work to do on getting to the place of inner peace.
That's right. What was the thing? Do you want to share what it was that you were trying to manifest, or is it too personal?
Yeah, inner peace. Inner peace.
Right. So maybe right now you can really accept that you're on the journey and that you're still manifesting inner peace. Inner peace is an interesting one to manifest, because it's something that I think we're going to be manifesting forever. So
I know, because if I had have gotten that sign, right, I would have been like, okay, that's done.
I'm done. That's right.
It's actually something I have to work on, and I can't fool myself that I actually have inner peace when I know I've got to go to the unresolved trauma. I've got to get myself back into therapy. I have work to do in order to get there. So that's why I didn't get my sign.
That's right.
Thank you, Gabby Bernstein. A short break to thank Electrocell for supporting the Good Glow this season. So what do electrolytes do? Well, they help you stay hydrated by helping your body absorb and retain water, keeping you energized and refreshed. They simply replace fluids and essential electrolytes due to exercise, hot weather, travel or illness. Electrocell is available in flavors such as blackcurrant, lemon and raspberry, and orange. It's vegan friendly, gluten-free, caffeine-free and GMO-free. You can find more information on electrocell.ie. Really gorgeous from Gabby Bernstein there on asking for a sign, because you never know where it might take you. So I've saved one of my favorite stories ever told on the Good Glow podcast for Dr. Shefali. So I don't even try to retell this story or pass it on. I simply send this episode to any woman I know who's going through a period of change or uncertainty. And the story about the tunnel is truly moving. I hope you enjoy it.
And then at 45, I do think that's a risky time for women when they are hit their midlife. I had a huge awakening where I had to make the choice of either staying in my marriage or leaving it. And that was extremely heartbreaking because I never imagined I would be at this juncture of even confronting this choice. You know, like you've talked about, I'm sure your health journey makes you confront choices that we never thought we would confront. I never expected after 25 years to even confront the idea of divorce. I had to really make a choice. Do I be authentic, or do I be conforming and stay in my comfort zone, or do I be authentic and daring but be very uncomfortable? And I'm so grateful that I had the courage, because of all the work I had done, to go through that tunnel. And it was so transformative. And I wrote about it in my book, A Radical Awakening, because when we give ourselves the privilege and the opportunity to confront our deepest fears, we not only liberate ourselves from the fears, we begin to live a life that we never imagined was possible, right? I tell women, you have no idea what is waiting for you. You think you are good, but you could be great. And your fears and the tunnel of darkness that will come is so scary to you, but you don't realize that after the tunnel, is something so magnificent, an oasis, a heaven, a bliss that is so possible within your reach, but you're just afraid of that tunnel, right? It's just that tunnel that is so scary. And we all come to the beginning of the tunnel, and we know that going backwards is a cop-out. But because the tunnel, the potential fear is so great that we run back to the status quo. But the tunnel is only dark because we're on the outside of it. Once we start walking, then you begin to see the shadows. Then you begin to realize that you're okay. And then suddenly your eyes get accustomed to the fear, which means your heart gets stronger. And then before you know it, you're out of the tunnel. It's just the start that is so scary. So that's what I teach. That's what I talk about. I empower women and men around the world to enter the tunnel. Like, we owe it to ourselves. And if we don't do it willingly, then we get a diagnosis. Then we get a breakup. Then we get a firing from our job, right? Then it'll come from outside. So do you want to do it yourself, or do you want it to come from the outside? Because whether we like it or not, the tunnel is coming for all of us.
Thank you to my five great guests for the five great stories. And if you have a couple of more minutes, I'd just like to add my own. This is the story of the burnt potato, which I created for my book, and I tell in all my corporate stories, and so many women resonate with it. So let me give you a bit of background on the burnt potato. I speak about this because I think it helps us as women see how we often put other people ahead of ourselves. So imagine this, you've got everyone over for dinner, your family, and you make a big tray of roast potatoes and you put them in the oven. And when it's time to take them out, you realize that the corner of the dish has burnt. And what do you do with those overdone potatoes that nobody else wants? Well, more often than not, we put them on our own plate and we give everybody else the perfectly cooked food. And I did this for years. Now, the burnt potato is not just about the food on our plate. It's a metaphor for how we live our lives. We may skip the coffee date with a friend because we're too busy cleaning the house. We may miss our favorite gym class because we've got a pile of ironing to do. And by doing this over and over again, by eating the burnt potato and never putting ourselves first, we're putting out a message into the world that we are not important, not only to other people, but to ourselves too. So when I got sick, I promised myself, that's it. I'm going to put myself first. I'm not going to eat the burnt potato anymore. Because not only do I not want to eat the burnt potato myself, but nobody in my life wants me to live my life that way either. So next time that you're thinking of flaking out on yourself or not doing the things that make you feel warm, remind yourself that you are worth more than a burnt potato. I was at a corporate talk recently and someone put up their hand and they said, Georgie, I read your story, The Burnt Potato, in your book. How do you keep that promise to yourself all these years after your cancer? How are you still not eating the burnt potato? And I looked at that gorgeous girl and I said, I don't eat the burnt potato because I don't want Pia, my daughter, to eat the burnt potato. It's up to me to show her that it's okay to love yourself, that it's okay to put yourself first, and it's okay to put yourself higher on your to-do list. That today is the end of my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. This was a little passion project, creative moment for me. And I hope that, as I said at the start, that if you did enjoy this podcast, you can share it with the favorite women in your life. And if you have been sent this podcast, now you know that you are a favorite woman in someone else's life. A big thanks to Electricell for supporting The Good Glow. And guess what? I know I'm going to say it. We've announced our Christmas show. Jingle All the Way. It's coming to the National Concert Hall on Saturday, December 6th at 7 p.m. We're going to have a night of comedy, joy, laughter, fun, inspirational talks. It's a 90-minute show. It's the perfect way to kick off the festive season. So grab your favorite women, grab your favorite soul sisters, and jingle all the way with us in the concert hall for our very last Christmas show at the National Concert Hall on December 6th. I'll leave a link in the show notes for tickets. See you next week.